Review and Review, celebrating 40 years of audio production, welcomes you to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast, recorded from our studio in the Bishopriggs Media Centre and by our volunteers working from home. Keep up to date with Q and Review news via our Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at Q and Review, that's @CUEANDREVIEW. Or get in touch with us directly by emailing information@qandreview.com. That's information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. Please like and share our podcast and give us constructive feedback.
Evening Times Sport, February 13. O'Neill praises McCausland. Report by Stuart Wilson. Michael O'Neill insists Ross McCausland's performances for Rangers have helped inspire his international teammates. The midfielder has made 25 appearances for the Ibrox side so far this season, scoring twice and providing 4 assists. McCausland also recently signed a contract extension with the Light Blues and has found himself in the international picture with Northern Ireland. The Rangers Academy graduate made his debut for O'Neill's men against Finland in a Euro 2024 qualifier in November. And while the 54-year-old admits the player's rise to prominence has taken him by surprise, he hopes other youngsters will follow the midfielder's example. Speaking to the Belfast Telegraph, he said, "Ross has done extremely well. He has held down a place consistently, despite big competition at Rangers with their form being so good. They have picked up results and a lot of points with their new manager. And clearly he is a fan of Ross because he plays him in basically every game. What's also good is that he plays him for 90 minutes a lot of the time, which for a wide player is not always the case. I think Ross has developed a lot in the last 2 or 3 months, and hopefully he brings that form and that consistency onto the international stage. I think a young player like Ross needs an opportunity. It didn't look like he was going to get that opportunity at Rangers. Then it came a little bit out of the blue, and Stephen Davis helped him in that respect when he was interim manager and in for 2 games. That gave Ross a breakthrough, and Philippe Clement kept him in the team subsequent to that. Every young player needs a break, whether it is at club or international level, and I think Ross is a great example to a lot of our young players because he grabbed it with both hands." Report by Stuart Wilson. Evening Times Sport, February 13. Patterson admits Scotland's start was beyond pre-season expectations. Report by Martin McMillan. Harry Patterson admitted he could never have imagined starting a Guinness Six Nations match for Scotland, just months after wondering how he was going to get a game in Edinburgh's high-calibre back three. The 22-year-old began the season competing with established internationals like Blair Kinghorn, Darcy Graham, Duane van der Merwe and Emiliano Boffelli for a place at club level. The departure of Kinghorn to Toulouse and injuries to others allowed him to make 3 starts for Edinburgh in December, and he was subsequently named in Gregor Townsend's squad for the Six Nations. Incredibly, with just 8 senior appearances to his name in total, Patterson was summoned to start Saturday's showdown with France on the morning of the game after Kyle Steyn's wife went into labour, further reducing the Scots' back three options after injuries to Key, Pear, Kinghorn and Graham. Patterson responded by producing what head coach Townsend described as one of the best debuts I've ever seen, as Scotland went down to a controversial 2016 defeat. Said Patterson, "It certainly was beyond my pre-season expectations, especially with the senior boys in the back three at Edinburgh. It's unbelievable. In November, I was thinking, I'm not really going to get a look with Edinburgh, but things can change very quickly, and a few guys got injured, so I was kind of given an opportunity through that. I'll take a lot of confidence from it. I've not played a lot of professional rugby, so I need to build up that base of games, stay fit, and crack on." Patterson was not named in the initial 23-man squad for the France match and only learned at 9 a.m, 5 hours before kick-off, that he would be starting at full-back. He said, "I got a call from Gregor when I was having my breakfast, and I kind of figured what was happening when I saw who was calling. There was about 10 minutes of panic, and then I stabilised and cooled down. There were a lot of nerves, obviously, but I was really excited. Jamie Ritchie told me beforehand, 'It's just another game of rugby, but it's also your first cap, so make sure you enjoy it.' I was all right once I was out there. I got minced off the first ball I caught, so that got me into the game. I just kind of went for it. I've been told I overthink a lot, but when it comes to game time, I manage to chill out a bit and not stress as much." Patterson had mixed feelings at the end of a debut in which Scotland were controversially denied what would have been a match-winning try, when the officials were unable to decide beyond all doubt that Sam Skinner had managed to ground the ball. He said, "I was a confused boy at the end of the game. I didn't really know how to feel at the end. I was just gutted at the result." While Steyn is likely to come back into the mix for the next game at home to England, a week on Saturday, it remains to be seen if Graham or Kinghorn, both of whom were initially ruled out of the first two matches of the championship, will be fit enough to return. Asked if he felt he had played his way into contention for the Calcutta Cup showdown, Patterson said, "I'm not sure. I don't know who's available. There's a lot of moving parts, so I'm not really sure what will happen." Report by Martin McMillan. Evening Times Sport, February 13. John Brown on parallels between Rangers manager and Souness and Smith. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Rangers great John Brown has admitted he can see similarities between Philippe Clement and legendary Ibrox managers Graeme Souness and Walter Smith, and predicted that his players will not be thinking about moving to the top of the Cinch Premiership or doing a domestic treble this season. James Tavernier and his teammates can leapfrog at Celtic and move into first place in the top flight table for the first time this season if they defeat managerless Ross County by 3 goals in their game in hand in Govan tomorrow evening. However, Clement, who has overseen a remarkable turnaround in fortunes since replacing Michael Beale as manager in October, has repeatedly stated that he is not interested in his side's league position at the moment, only their performances. Speaking at a promotional event for the Rangers Youth Development Company and their Union Jackpot halftime draw product at Ibrox yesterday, Brown stressed that Sunith and Smith had always adopted exactly the same approach. And he said, "The important thing is to win the game on Wednesday. If we go top, I don't think it will have an impact on what he is doing. I think Clement is just taking it a game at a time and is looking to win each game. Looking back to my own experiences with various managers, it was always about the next game, not the third game, or waiting until the Old Firm game came up. There is no point in that. You have to deal with your next game." I think he is putting that point over to the players. Can I tell you one thing that Graham Souness once said to me? He said, "I pick the team. The only person you need to worry about is me, not the fans. You have got to keep me happy to stay in the team." That is what Philippe is putting over to his players. They have to do as he is demanding, or they will not be in his side. And every player is reacting to that. The team's priority is to win the game. The manager will not be putting big demands on how many goals they get. It would be great to go top. We are in a good vein of form. But I don't think that is a priority for the manager. It is great because he is keeping the players' feet on the ground. Walter and Graham had that. Walter's man management skills were great, but if you got on the wrong side of him, Graham had that as well. Look back at the players he moved out, international players. Reputation meant nothing to him. It was all about the football club. I think Philippe has come in and won the respect of the dressing room by how he is putting his points over to his team. You can see the players are enjoying it. You can see the effort since he has come in the performances. I think players suss out managers, figure out if they are up to the task or not. That is the reaction you are seeing from the squad to the present manager. Everything is low key. He just gets his points over, and he is not looking too far ahead. It is just the next game. That is all you can do. I think this squad of players are looking at the manager and they are winning football matches. They are coming in on a Monday morning. They are enjoying the content of the training. It is all geared towards winning the next game. The players are thriving. I love coming in on a Monday morning because you knew you were coming into a quality manager, whether that was Graham or Walter. The content of the training was competitive every day. We had a lot of international players, and the competitive edge was there, even in small-sided games. We still wanted to win from Monday to Friday. You set the tone for how you played on a Saturday, with how you trained. I think this manager is the same. He has got that across to the players, that he will demand a lot through the week in training to take into the games. Asked if he thought the Viaplay Cup champions could do a clean sweep of domestic silverware this season, Brown said, "The manager will not be thinking about that. He'll just be thinking about the next game because they're up against the team that won the treble last year. The manager will make sure he's focusing the players on the next game." Even the treble I was involved with in 92-93, we never thought about that. It was just about keeping winning. We never thought about treble, even after the first trophy. At clubs like the Old Firm, you have to win. If you don't, there's a consequence. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Evening Times Sport, February 14. Rangers boss on the benefit of a booze up. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Philippe Clement is not thinking about uncorking the champagne just now, even though his Rangers team will move to the top of the Cinch Premiership this evening if they defeat Ross County by 3 goals at Ibrox. The Belgian knows there is an awfully long way to go and a lot of games still to be played before the Scottish title is decided, and he is, as he has done since he arrived in this country in October, remaining laser-focused on the next match. He has, however, spent some time considering the benefits of his players cracking open a few beers. Clement demands high fitness levels, complete commitment, and total professionalism from everyone who works under him. But he also knows that having a good camaraderie in the dressing room is vital to any successful team, and is not averse to his charges letting their hair down and enjoying themselves as a group. He revealed that he had sanctioned a night out on the tiles last month and expressed hope that the team bonding exercise will enable Rangers to perform at their very best in the Premiership, the Scottish Cup, and the Europa League in the coming months. He said, "I planned a day a few weeks ago. I wanted them to go out together, and they did, and had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun 2 days after also, when it was training. But those things are also very important. Connection between people is so crucial. They need to work together hard, but they need to count on each other also. They need to be there when somebody makes a fault. So it's very important to have these human relationships. In that way, it's a really amazing dressing room for the moment. The new players have settled already. It is really a nice place to come into. You have to be smart these days, and you need to know in what moment to go out. That's a big difference with my day. The game has become much more intense than 10 or 20 years ago. So you don't have many moments in a season when you can do it in a good way. That's why I told the team when it was the moment to do it, and they did, and they had a lot of fun. That's good. They are important moments. You maybe only have these, 3 of these moments in a season. It's not much, but it doesn't mean it cannot happen. If I remember my days, I had much more luxury because you build teams that way. Moments in the dressing room and on the field are super important, but evenings like that also help you build relationships, so they are crucial. So where did the Rangers players head to on that night out? Not too much detail or they wouldn't be happy I said too much, said Clement. The most important thing is that everyone had fun and they all enjoyed it. It's all the small percentages that will help in the end. Nigerian centre-half Leon Balogun posted a video on social media this week of new signing Mohamed Diomond wearing an Ivory Coast strip in the dressing room the day after Les Elephants had beaten the Super Eagles in the African Cup of Nations final. Clement was pleased to see midfielder Dumont, who joined in a £4.5 million transfer during the January transfer window, getting involved in a wind-up so soon after arriving in Scotland, and stressed the exchanges with Balogun and striker Cyril Dessert had been entirely good-natured. And he said, "They were joking about that, but they are really nice with each other in training. There's never a problem. You see that from the first second that the guys feel really accepted. I told the 3 new boys before they came in, when we had a lot of long talks, that they would join a really good dressing room. I told the dressing room too that I'd talked to the new guys about that, so I expected it that it would continue as it was before, and it has. And of course, if you show quality on the pitch, it goes faster. That's how it works in football. If the other guys see a good player, it's always faster that they are accepted. I've seen cliques in a dressing room as a player and a manager. I've worked against it as a manager to try to solve things, because that is our job, to unite people and to get them to work together for one goal. A lot of small things have been done in the group now, and that shows how this group of individuals have become a team. Even when they have a free day, they come in and are happy to be back. I do not need to say anything about the players not being happy to be home, as I do not want them to have problems with their misses. But there's a really good vibe. The other thing is that it is important that everyone stays at the same place and with their feet on the ground. If Rangers beat County by 3 goals tonight and move above Celtic in the Premiership, it will give Rangers supporters reason to head out and celebrate. But Clermont will continue to drive home the importance of not getting too carried away to his players. And he said, "What is the use of looking at a league table on day 1, day 8, day 17, day 32? It is about being on top after the last day. I look at the table in the last 2 or 3 days of the season, and before that I put every second of every day that my eyes are open into the work to get as many points as possible. That is controlling the controllables." Report by Matthew Lindsay. Evening Times Sport, February 14. How Ronaldo is helping Celtic midfielder. This has been a demanding season for Paulo Bernardo for a variety of different reasons. The Portuguese midfielder, who joined Celtic on a season-long loan from Benfica in his homeland back in September, took some time to force his way into the Scottish champions' first team. Manager Brendan Rodgers only gave him an extended run when his club mates Rio Hatate and Tomoki Iwata were ruled out of action by injuries. Since establishing himself as a regular starter, the 22-year-old has had to deal with intense media criticism of the Parkhead club's performances, as well as occasional unrest in the stands. Yet Bernardo is not, just like his legendary countryman Cristiano Ronaldo, the kind of individual to shy away from a challenge. He grew up, like so many football daft kids in his homeland and around the world, idolising the former Sporting Lisbon, Manchester United, Real Madrid and Juventus forward. But he always marvelled at the determination that CR7 showed to reach and remain at the very top of the global game, just as much as his technical ability, football intelligence, and physical prowess. So Bernardo was never, having witnessed a kid from an impoverished background in Madeira become one of the greatest footballers of all time, going to let himself get downhearted by negative comments from pundits or boos from the crowd. He said, "Ronaldo is absolutely incredible. Do I see him as a role model? Of course, it is his mental strength. He is like an idol to every player. We all look up to him. It is maybe a bit much to expect to achieve all the things that he has done and is still doing. But he is an inspiration to every player. He came from nothing and he succeeded and achieved so much. We always look to him and try to do our best as well." Bernardo, who endeared himself to Celtic fans greatly when he opened the scoring in the cinch Premiership win over Rangers at Parkhead in December, was delighted when Portugal were drawn in the same Nations League group in Scotland in Paris last week. Ronaldo, who has a world record, 205 international caps to his name, is 39 now and is plying his trade at Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia. Will he still be involved when the tournament gets underway in the autumn? His compatriot will not be in the slightest bit surprised if he is. He said, "It's a very interesting draw with Portugal playing Scotland. The boys have not said too much, but I am sure we will be talking about it nearer the time. It will be a nice game to see. Will Ronaldo be playing? Probably yes. You never know. He's 39, but he keeps going. I don't know if I will be playing at that age. I'll need to look after my body like he does." Bernardo, who acquitted himself admirably alongside his captain, Callum McGregor, in the Champions League group games against Atletico Madrid, Feyenoord and Lazio this term, has represented Portugal at every age group level and is currently a member of their under-21 squad, along with Rangers striker Fabio Silva. He appreciates that forcing his way into the senior team in future will be extremely difficult. Manager Roberto Martinez can deploy the likes of Bruno Fernandes of Manchester United, Ruben Neves of Al Hilal, and Vitinha of Paris Saint-Germain in his position at the moment. However, it is a definite long-term objective and drives him on every day in training and during matches. And he said, "It's a very strong group of players coming through with Portugal right now, but I have always dreamt about playing for the national team. It is an ambition of mine, and it is also a big motivation to get to that stage and play for my country." Bernardo's main focus at the moment, though, is ensuring Celtic, who will be overtaken at the top of the Premiership tonight if their city rivals Rangers beat Ross County by 3 goals at Ibrox, retain the Scottish title and Scottish Cup this season. He helped the treble winners to win their difficult cup tie with St Mirren in Paisley on Sunday, and book their place in the quarter-finals of the Scottish Gas-sponsored National Cup competition. However, he is adamant they can perform even better in the coming weeks and months, and is determined to remain involved and help them to do so. He stressed that nobody in the squad is downbeat about their prospects of landing silverware and enjoying a 23-24 campaign. He said, "We have a long season with ups and downs. We just have to stick together, the players, the coaches and the fans. Keep going and keep improving. We have had some injuries, but I think we are doing quite well. We just need to take our opportunities in front of goal. We are doing some things well, and there are some things we need to improve. Sometimes we have needed 2 more chances to score 1 goal. And that makes things more difficult. We look at the things we are doing good and also the things that are not so good. It's always good to play. The confidence levels go high and we improve much more in the games than just in training." Report by Matthew Lindsay. Evening Times Sport, February 15. Clermont reveals referee apology. Report by Ewan Payton. Philippe Clermont has revealed he said sorry to Alan Muir after his outburst during Rangers' win over Ross County. The referee booked the Belgian late in the match after the 49-year-old let his frustrations get the better of him on the touchline. A water bottle was sent flying as the Ibrox gaffer vented his anger over the stoppages in his side's 3-1 win over the Staggies. He was asked about the incident post-match and if he had any complaints over the incident. Instead, he admitted he apologised for the situation. He said, "No, I was maybe moaning a little bit too much. I was frustrated about a few moments when I wanted to keep the tempo of the game. Ross County could stop it without getting booked. I apologised after to the referee. I'm also a human being." On the game itself, he said, "It was a really good game from my team. I think every person who was in the stadium compared to 4 months ago will see a huge difference. Everybody is involved, and everybody made wave after wave of attack. But the defence also did really well. This could have been a night with many more goals, but you need a little bit of luck. On the other side was a goalkeeper who played maybe the game of his life. He made a few really good saves, and also sometimes when luck was on his side. We need to continue what we've been doing, and that's the most important thing. We want to keep creating chances, and that attacking football everyone loves to see. The mentality of the team, our hunger, desire, the resilience to never stop, and always want more. I want to see that ambition in my team, and I want to see it over the next couple of months, game after game." Report by Ewan Payton. Evening Times Sport, February 15. Tyless Tate tees up new golf tour for Scottish female amateurs. Report by Nick Roger. Less is more, so they say. Try telling that to Alan Tate. The 54-year-old tends to pack so much into the working day, he probably has to pay an excess baggage fee when he clocks off. If he ever clocks off, that is. "There are never enough hours in the day," said the multitasking Ayrshireman of his daily endeavours. "As ever, I'm always spinning plates. With jobs, roles, initiatives and activities billowing here, there and everywhere, the well-kent and well-travelled Tate continues to generate the kind of surging energy that could fuse the national grid. The latest plate to get flung into the equation is the Scottish Women's Amateur Tour, SWAT, a new circuit for female golfers from the unpaid ranks. Tate, of course, is no stranger to setting up and running competitive tours. Ever since he first dabbled in the pay-and-play business almost 25 years ago by launching his 2,000-plus tour for pros and amateurs, the former European Tour campaigner has been tireless in his efforts to give golfers in the game's cradle more playing opportunities. The Scottish Women's Amateur Tour is his latest addition to the domestic scene. Given that he also runs the Get Back to Golf Tour, a circuit which filled a vital gap during the barren COVID months and has kept going, and the CAC Handers Tour for a more niche golfing market, Tate has plenty of bases covered. He chuckled to this correspondent, "Maybe I could do a hackers tour for Nick Roger and his colleagues." "There would be a lot playing on that," replied Nick Roger. Tate agreed. As for the formation of the women's circuit, "It started off as a bit of light-hearted banter," said Tate, of the tour's genesis. "I'd started these other tours and 5 or 6 of the girls would often say, 'Right, Tatey, when are you going to do something for us women?' I kind of laughed it off at the start, but then it got more serious. One came up and said they have the Highland Homes Scottish Opens, the Scottish Women's Amateur, and some county stuff, but that's really it. Many said they used to play in lots of 36-holers on the order of merit, but there wasn't the opportunity now. I thought, let's try and pull something together. Another Tate Tour was born. With an entry fee of just £65, the SWAT will feature 9 36-hole contests at some of Scotland's finest venues. The circuit gets underway in April at Royal Dornoch and will conclude with a grand final at Cabot Highlands Castle Stewart. You're getting Royal Dornoch for £65, and if nothing else, you're getting 2 rounds on courses that can usually cost £300 to £400, he said of the terrific value for money. Open to female golfers with a handicap of 9 and better, Tate is eager to attract a broad church of competitors. This is a game and a circuit for all ages. The former Tartan Tour Order of Merit winner continued, I hope we get all sorts. There will be players out there, perhaps some former internationalists in their 50s and 60s. They will still be competitive, but they might also look at this as a nice social opportunity. And of course, we want those younger ones who have aspirations of playing for Scotland. If somebody comes onto this tour and wins 3 or 4 times, then the selectors cannot ignore that. I think this tour can tick a lot of boxes for women golfers. There was a time when cherished events like the Riccarton Rose Bowl, the Ness Open, the Mackey Bowl, and the Munros Trophy were staples on the Women's Amateur Order of Merit. These are changed days, but Tate is hoping to revitalise some old favourites. And he added, we have an event at Montrose, which held the Munros Trophy, and the pro there is really keen to put the trophy up for the new tour. Membership of the SWAT will initially be limited to 130 players on a first-come, first-served basis, and Tate is hoping the good golfing ladies of country embrace the opportunity he has provided. And he said, we've got tremendous courses. The cost is decent. So now we just need the bodies to support it, to see if there's a real market for it. The tireless Tate continues to do his bit for golf in Scotland, says Nick Roger. Evening Times Sport, February 15. Neil Warnock compares VAR to Horizon System at Heart of Post Office Scandal. Report by Gavin McCafferty. Neil Warnock likened the VAR computer to the Horizon Post Office software after his Aberdeen side were denied a winner for a marginal offside decision in a 6-goal thriller with Motherwell. Warnock joked he was expecting the sack when Motherwell went 3 up inside 26 minutes thanks to Theo Bayer's double and an Adam Devine strike. With Richard Jensen missing through illness, Warnock has started with 1 centre-back and 2 full-backs in his defence, but his double change on the half-hour sparked an instant response. With centre-back Angus MacDonald and attacker Duke on for midfielders Shaden Morris and Dante Polvara, the latter sub netted within 30 seconds after Motherwell lost the ball from their own throw-in. Motherwell continued to look vulnerable from set pieces, and goals from Stephen Gartenman and Duke had at Aberdeen level by the 50th minute. Both sides had potential winners disallowed. Aberdeen striker Bojan Miovski for offside, and Motherwell's Harry Payton was denied after a VAR review. Miovski looked level with the last Motherwell defender, and Warnock was unconvinced by referee Kevin Clancy's faith in the VAR system. Said Warnock, "VAR, I don't believe it." He said VAR is a computer. "I think it's the Horizon computer. You can't tell me that's offside. I've seen the lines. I don't believe it's offside. I don't know how they do it." Warnock reacted swiftly to change matters after Motherwell went 3 ahead, but he admitted Chairman Dave Cormack might have been thinking similarly. "I was thinking, what times are the planes to Cornwall tomorrow?" Expecting a call on the bench from Dave, he said, "We lost Jensen in the morning to an illness, so we changed it and thought we could play that way, but it showed we couldn't. All credit to the boys. At 3-0, a lot could have gone under, but when we made the changes, we enjoyed it, and I enjoyed watching them." Motherwell manager Stuart Kettlewell was also disappointed with VAR after seeing Payton's goal disallowed for Callum Butcher's push on Jamie McGrath. Said Kettlewell, "There were a lot of contacts in the box, and without question he has two hands on the back of his opponent, but he didn't push him 2 or 3 yards. Was it an obvious error? He said it was, but from 2 or 3 angles I've seen, I don't think it was a contact that propelled him into his keeper. I felt it was a little soft. And if you look at it so many times, are we looking for something that isn't obviously there?" Kettlewell bemoaned his side's defending from set pieces, which led to Aberdeen's goals, including Duke's first, which came from a Motherwell throw-in. And he said, "There are 3 restarts in the game where if we are better, then we win. It lets me focus on it and try to educate some of the younger guys." Report by Gavin McCafferty. Evening Times Sport, February 17. Willie Collum in the frame to referee Rangers versus Celtic. Report by David Irvin. Willie Collum is in the frame to referee the upcoming showdown between Rangers and Celtic. The Scottish FA whistler will be considered to take charge of the match on April 6th or 7th. The Glasgow rivals first meet in April before a final league clash after the split, and referee chief Crawford Allen has confirmed Collum, just like his referee colleagues, could be the man in the middle for any of the powder keg fixtures. Said Allen, "Woolley will be in the frame with every other referee for consideration for games, whether they be in the league, in the cup or whatever. We will make that decision nearer the time." It comes after Collum had come under fire for his VAR decision in the last meeting between Celtic and Rangers. The experienced whistler did not call for a VAR review of a possible handball against Alistair Johnston in the Celtic box. Around 15 minutes after the incident, Sky Sports highlighted Abdallah Sima was in an offside position in the attacking phase of play, rendering the handball incident invalid. It is understood the broadcaster requested images with the relevant lines drawn from the SFA. But Allen also admitted the VAR images only caused further backlash rather than bringing transparency over the flashpoint. Said the 56-year-old, "We were trying to be as transparent and open as possible to assist the understanding of people. But for the noise that it created, it's like, well, why would we do that again? We'll stick to what we did at the time, and then we will report to the facts. I think that's a lesson learned. Initially, yes, we thought it did provide clarity, but clearly hindsight has shown that it didn't. We did it with the best of intentions. We were trying to assist. But at the end of the day, all it's done is backfire. From now on, we'll just say to the broadcaster, if you want to look at it and show there was an offside, then that's up to you. We'll tell you the facts as to what we did at the time. Report by David Irvin. Evening Times Sport, February 16. Green Brigade urge Celtic fans to join Palestine tribute. Report by David Irvin. Celtic supporters have been urged by the Green Brigade to join a tribute to the people of Palestine. The fan group intends to pay tribute to those affected by the ongoing conflict in Gaza by singing Grace as the match against Kilmarnock kicks off. A statement released through North Curve Celtic read, as the Gaza genocide continues shamefully unabated, we invite the Celtic support to join us in song to commemorate the 30,000 lives lost and the millions struggling on. Grace is a song of love, hope, loss, pain, steadfastness, resistance and freedom. Join us at the start of the match to pay tribute to the fearless people of Palestine. The group have been vocal in their support for Palestine amid the conflict, with huge displays of the country's flag at Parkhead in recent months. The Green Brigade had previously been banned from Celtic Park over unacceptable conduct. However, members of the group maintained displays for Palestine were a factor in the decision. The supporters were granted a return in December, with the group displaying a banner quoting words from A Prisoner's Christmas Song. The banner read, many homes they are sad tonight. They whisper someone's name by the candlelight. 20,000 plus killed, 8,000 plus children. It comes after one of the rules in the section banned banners that could be considered to border into subjects including politics. The Celtic Rail Seating Section Safety Code of Conduct includes the rule not to display banners or engage in any singing, chanting, which could reasonably be considered to be racial, sectarian, political, homophobic or discriminatory. To bring banners and flags and to sing songs which support the team positively, the banner protocol must be complied with. Report by David Irvin. Evening Times Sport, February 16. Cifuentes reckons career could be reignited. Report by Mark Walker. Rangers Jose Cifuentes reckons a personal one-on-one meeting with Brazilian legend Ronaldo could help reignite his career in Brazil. The Ecuadorian midfielder was shipped off on loan back to South America with Cruzeiro after a disappointing time at Ibrox. His new club have an option to turn the loan move into a permanent one at the end of the Brazilian season. Cruzeiro are owned and bankrolled by World Cup legend Ronaldo, and he personally met the Rangers player at the club's training centre. And Cifuentes said, I want to thank the fans for the welcome messages and comments to me. I am excited, happy and looking forward to bringing joy to all of them. I had the enormous pleasure of meeting Ronaldo, one of the greatest players in the history of football. He is a legend, a football icon. anyone who gets to meet him and be able to talk to him for a moment is very excited, and I hope his words will inspire me to be a success at this great club. Meanwhile, former Rangers striker Alfredo Morelos has been tipped to become a Santos legend once he is able to play for 90 minutes. The Colombian striker finally broke his goal drought for his new club after almost 10 months, after netting a penalty against Sao Paulo. He was criticised before that by former Brazil star Neto because of his physical shape. But Santos boss Fabio Carril admitted the former Ibrox hero is not fully fit yet and said, "I have very high expectations for Morelos. I have been following him for a long time, but there's still a while to go. He's been taking part in games and he needs minutes. At the moment he cannot last more than 60 minutes, but he's gaining confidence along with the team. He's a goal scorer. If you're playing as a number 9, the opportunities will come at this club." Report by Mark Walker.
From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 18th of February, from the sports section, Rangers manager and how skipper helped put out fire in the building. Report by Matthew Lindsay, chief football writer. Philip Comont today explained how Rangers captain James Tavernier helped him to extinguish the fire in the building after he arrived at Ibrox and lauded the right back for his crazy goal scoring form. Tavernier netted two penalties in a 3-0 win over St Johnstone at McDermott Park in Perth this afternoon, a result which ensured the Glasgow club leapfrogged Celtic into first place in the Cinch Premiership. The second half brace took the 32-year-old's tally for the top flight leaders to 19 in the 2023-24 campaign and to 120 in total. Clement, who replaced Michael Beale in October when the Govan outfit were trailing their City rivals by 7 points, singled out the skipper for special praise after a victory which moved his side too clear into the table. The Belgian explained how the Englishman, who is now in his 9th season in Scotland, had given him the lowdown on the behind-the-scenes issues which needed to be addressed in a one-to-one discussion after he was appointed. "I'm happy with Tav," he said. "He was the first player I talked with. That's normal when you come into a building and you know that the fire is going on. I wanted to see how to stop it as fast as possible, so I wanted all the information. It's normal to speak first with the captain. He was really open and honest about all the things in the club, dressing room and himself also. He feels good also. There is a divided leadership with several players who take responsibility, but they have a really good connection together. If you're all alone, you can be alone in the desert. Now he has a few lieutenants around him that help also and are very influential. It's important to have that." Asked about Tavernier's impressive strike rate, Clement said, "It's crazy. I don't know if there ever was a defender scoring more goals in Scotland or Europe. He has a lot of quality in that. But it's not only penalties. He scored important other goals, like in the Cup Final, in the VIP Cup Final win over Aberdeen in December, for example. And he's doing a really good defensive job because, in the first place, he is a defender for me, not an attacking player. He is not busy with stats to play for himself, but for the team, like they all are." Clement reiterated that he and his players are not looking at their position in the Premiership at this moment in time, but he expressed the hope that Rangers are on the verge of something really special. "Beginning is maybe exaggerated, but for sure we can grow a lot," he said. "If I see how they are playing now compared to 4 months ago, we cannot speak about the beginning because that was the beginning. There is a lot of room for progression. It's clear they're all growing these past couple of months, without exception. We are going to invest a lot with all the staff in them, and they invest a lot in themselves and the group because every day everyone is super focused. I didn't have any problems with that in these 4 months. That's the first time in a team I didn't have to smack somebody who's not focused or not motivated. It's a really important thing, but they all feel they're in a really special story, and it can be a really special one." Rangers moved above Celtic in the Premiership for the first time in 2 years today. but Clement reiterated that he is not interested in the Ibrox club's league position and only cares about them improving further in the coming weeks and months. "We are not looking at that," he said. "Our challenge is to be better every week, better every month. Not every game you can be better. That's impossible. But we try to do that. We try to develop as individuals, as a team, to become better and adapt to circumstances." Clement started Mohamed Diamande for the first time in the Premiership this afternoon and was delighted with his £4.5 million January signing, who played in a deep-lying position alongside John Lundstrom, broke the deadlock with a long-range strike 8 minutes before half-time. "It's good for him, of course, to feel good directly in the team," he said. "It's because of all the people around him. Connor, Goldson, and John, Souter, and Lunny, John Lundstrom, speak a lot with him. And players in front who are available to receive the passes. It's about the connection together. He adapted really fast because the others are helping in that way really good. He can play in all three positions. We had a lot of talks with him about that. I also want to know players really well when they come into the building. I want players who are available for the team and don't only come to play in their own game or position. Dio can play three positions in midfield without a problem. As told to Matthew Lindsay." From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 17th of February, from the sports section. Rodgers in not a one-off Celtic disappointment verdict. This article is by Ewan Payton. Brendan Rodgers insists he takes the responsibility of Celtic slipping up yet again in the title race on his shoulders. David Watson scored a 91st minute equaliser for Kilmarnock this afternoon as the Ayrshire side earned a deserved point at Parkhead. Kyogo had the host in front with a lovely first half header as the hoops looked to make the dominance count. However, Derek McInnes' side pressed high up the field in the second half and were brave on the ball, with 19-year-old Watson getting the reward right at the death. There were audible boos at full-time from the home faithful, with Rangers now given the chance to go top of the Premiership tomorrow with a win at St Johnstone. "The performance level was nowhere near what we'd want," he told BBC Sportsound. "It looked like we were going to get away with it. It looked like we were going to see the game through 1-0 to get a good result, but a poor performance. It was neither in the end up. We're all disappointed. It's the nature of how we conceded. It's not the first time that we've been in this situation. We've been in it a number of times where we've been in front. We've not taken opportunities to extend the lead. And then we've given ourselves anxiety and given the opposition something to hang on to. If you do that a number of times, then, of course, that will disappoint. It's a disappointing day for the supporters. I take responsibility for that. It's the fourth time the champions have dropped points at home this season. St Johnstone and Motherwell had previously secured draws, with Hearts got all three back in December. Asked directly if that is a concern, he sharply responded, "Yeah, absolutely. It's not a one-off, it's happened too many times. When you look at the metrics of how the team has been doing from an analysis perspective, the defensive side has been the one area where there has been a drop, that's for sure. Of course, we've been missing some key players in those positions. Still, that aside, we have to be harder to beat at times. We have to be more aggressive. If you're going to see out a game, then you have to be able to do that. Like I say, it's happened too many times." And that report was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 18th of February, from the sports section. St Johnstone 0, Rangers 3. Instant reaction to the burning issues. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Rangers moved above Celtic in the Cinch Premiership table for the first time in 2 years with a comfortable 3-0 win over St Johnstone at McDermott Park in Perth this afternoon. With the Parkhead club being held to a 1-1 draw at home by Kilmarnock yesterday, they had the opportunity to leapfrog their city rivals into top spot in the table. They grasped it with both hands. A first half Mohamed Diamande goal, his first for the Ibrox club, and two late James Tavernier penalties, which were both awarded following VAR checks, secured a triumph which delighted their supporters. It is the first time that Rangers, who are now 2 points clear and also have a superior goal difference, have been above Celtic after playing the same number of games since February 2022. There is a growing feeling throughout Scottish football that Philip Clement's team have what it takes to pit Brendan Rodgers' side to the title. Here are five talking points from the encounter. All change. Clement freshened up his team before kick-off and made no fewer than five changes to the starting lineup, which took to the field for the league meeting against Ross County at Ibrox in midweek. Out went left-back Ridvan Yilmaz, central midfielder Tom Warrens, wingers Rabbi Matondo, Ross McCausland and striker Cyril Dessers, and in came Borna Barisic, Mohamed Diamande, Oscar Cortez, Scott Wright and Fabio Silva. It is far from the first time the former Genk, Club Brugge and Monaco manager has performed such extensive surgery, but on every occasion that he has, his men have delivered. St Johnstone made life difficult for their opponents. The poor playing surface did not help the visitors either. It took two late penalties to wrap up all 3 points. Still, they got the job done. The influence of their skipper Tavernier, who took his tally for the season with 19 with his brace, was once again significant. The right back has now been on target no fewer than 120 occasions for Rangers. Diomande sparkles. The versatile Ivorian had made his first start in a light blue jersey in the Scottish Cup win over Ayr United in the playmaker berth last week and acquitted himself well. But the former Nordsjælland man, a £4.5 million signing during the transfer window, prefers to play in a slightly deeper role and believed he's most effective as a box-to-box midfielder. He got the chance to show what he can do in his favourite position today. He made quite an impact alongside John Lundstrom. He worked hard to win possession in the centre of the park and to break down the host's attacks. He broke the deadlock with the first moment of real quality in the game. The ball fell to him 25 yards out 8 minutes before half-time. He teed up his shot with his left foot and fired beyond the outstretched Dimitar Mitov with his weaker right. The 22-year-old is not a regular scorer. It was his first goal since last May, but his finish was exquisite. Diomande teed up Silver for an attempt early in the second half with a cross from wide on the right and continued to work hard. He has stiff competition for a start at Rangers from Lundstrom, Ryan Jack, Lawrence, Nicholas Raskin and Dujong Sterling. He has, though, increased his chances of being involved with his assured showing this afternoon. You sense there is much more to come from him. Birthday Bear. Lundstrom has been a man transformed since Clement took over from Michael Beale in Govan back in October. The English midfielder has shown the sort of form that he did during the run to the Europa League final back in the 2021-22 campaign. He is rarely, if ever, left out these days. The former Sheffield United man turned 30 today and celebrated his birthday with a typically commanding performance. He headed a goal-bound Matt Smith free kick over the crossbar at 1-0. He is out of contract in the summer and has still to sign an extension. Keeping him at Ibrox should be a priority for his employers. Flat Wright. This was a chance for Scott Wright to show his manager that he deserves to get a run in the Rangers' first team. He failed to take it. The former Aberdeen winger was unable to make any kind of impact during the opening 45 minutes and failed to reappear after half-time. His place was taken by Sterling. To be fair to the 26-year-old, he was not the only one who laboured, but he has to start showing more, far more, to feature regularly. Sterling, who is a right-back, did better than his clubmate during his time in the park. It was his tenacity out wide which won the first spot kick. Saints struggles. Dan Phillips, Ryan McGowan and Connor Smith all returned to the St Johnstone team for the visit of Rangers and the Perth club competed well for long spells, contained their rivals and withstood relentless pressure until Diomande struck. Todd Cantwell, who was replaced by Lawrence on the hour mark, was the victim of a few robust challenges, not least when David Kelchins took him out during the first half. But Craig Levein's charges, who have now lost 3 league games in the spin, must start to offer more going forward if they are to move away from the foot of the table and avoid getting dragged into a relegation dogfight. They failed to test Jack Butland all afternoon. St Johnstone are just 5 points ahead of second bottom Ross County with 12 games remaining. If they can continue to show the same heart and add more of a cutting edge in the final third, they can ensure their survival. And the article was by Matthew Lindsay. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday, the 18th of February, from the sports section, St Johnstone manager fumes after incredibly unfair Rangers penalty. This article is by chief football writer Matthew Lindsay. Craig Levein has branded the second penalty that Rangers were awarded against St Johnstone today as incredibly unfair and joked that VAR was now 8-0 up in the struggling Perth club this season. Levein conceded that his team had not deserved to win the Cinch Premiership match against their Ibrox rivals, who move above Celtic in the top flight table with a 3-0 triumph at McDermott Park this afternoon. However, the former Dundee United, Hearts and Scotland manager felt the second spot kick, which referee Matthew McDermott gave after watching a replay of a Tom Warren shot hitting the arm of Luke Robinson on his pitchside monitor, had been harsh. The 59-year-old is unhappy both with the current handball rule and how the new technology is being used in this country, and claimed that matches are being re-referred by VAR officials at Clydesdale House in Glasgow. "That's VAR 8-0 up on us now," he said. "I haven't seen them back. The lads are saying that the first one they thought was a penalty. The second one they didn't, that was their view on it, but it's second-hand information. It's unbelievably unfair. When you spin it, your arm comes out. I don't know how you're supposed to keep your arm in like that when you're spinning. The referee hasn't seen it, and it's the people in the booth that call it. It's these guys in the booth making calls that are baffling at times. We didn't lose the game just because of VAR today, but it certainly made life much more comfortable for Rangers and took some of our energy away after they were awarded a couple of goals." Levein added, "I don't know what the best rule is to have, but could we have one that applies to everybody? That would be nice. Supporters come along and pay their money. They have to sit for 5 minutes with a feeling of dread in their stomach, but everybody knows what's going to happen. The referee's going to make whatever decisions have been made in the booth. The referees aren't really refereeing the game anymore. Maybe they should just get half their money. I've seen a lot of handballs recently. I don't know what's going on just now. It's quite depressing, sitting here every week and talking about stuff that should be helping but isn't." St Johnstone are just 5 points above second bottom place Ross County in the Premiership after the third straight league defeat. But Levein was pleased with how his charges applied themselves against Rangers and is upbeat about their future prospects. "The game was frustrating," he said. "We worked the system really well in the first half, shifting between a 4 and a 5 and a 3. We restricted Rangers to very few opportunities. Other than the goal, I can't really remember an awful lot of stress in the first half at all. Listen, I am frustrated and feel for the boys because they have worked so, so hard. To have another couple of incidents in the game that have cost us is frustrating. I'm not saying we would have beaten Rangers, but we performed the way we did in the first half, then had to change it to try to get back in the game, which opened us up, and Rangers had most of the chances in the last 20 minutes. Today's game wasn't one most people would have thought we'd win. I was happy with the way we played for most of the game. At some point, Livingston were going to pick up a win. If we apply ourselves next week, as we did today, we'll have a good chance of winning." And that report was by Matthew Lindsay.
Evening Times Sport, February 19. Laura Muir to shun home comforts in Glasgow. Report by Martin McMillan. Laura Muir will snub home comforts to ensure she is in the right frame of mind to win gold at the World Indoor Championships. The 30-year-old claimed the 3,000-metre title at the UKA Indoor Championships after running 8 minutes 58.8 seconds to seal victory in Birmingham. Muir is planning her assault on the 3,000 metres at the World Indoors in Glasgow next month. The Scot, who is based in Glasgow, will race at her home track, but intends to remain with the team rather than stay at home during the championships. Muir, who won 1,500 metres and 3,000 metres gold at the European Indoors in Glasgow in 2019, said, I am going to stay in the team hotel. I think it would be hard to get myself in the mindset that I am going to compete at a World Championships final. It's better when it's a straight final to not be coming from my sofa, so I'm going to go into the team hotel. I never really took it in because I didn't know if I was definitely going. I don't want to do anything until I'm definitely going, but it's really nice. I've got a lot of fond memories from that track, from competing there before. So I'm just going to go there and I'm going to enjoy it. And that's the most important thing for me. Evening Times Sport, February 19. Celtic Ladies Star hits out at Rangers. Report by Alison McConnell. Celtic defender Caitlin Hayes has launched a scathing attack on Rangers after they let women's football down by cancelling tickets for visiting fans for yesterday's 1-1 draw at Ibrox. The Republic of Ireland international was furious at the decision to withdraw tickets the day before the game, with the Ibrox club citing security concerns. An SWPL board meeting is due to take place tomorrow, with Rangers expected to be asked for a full explanation about why the decision was made, particularly with such short notice given. Three or four Celtic fans revealed themselves at full time after the draw, which kept Rangers 4 points clear at the top of the league, with one sporting a T-shirt which read, "Football without fans is nothing," the famous Jockstein quote that hangs inside Celtic Park. Hayes too revealed the same T-shirt under her strip before she then took to social media late last night to have her say. She wrote, "Football without fans is nothing. Today women's football in Scotland was let down. In a weekend where the Emirates was sold out and the growth of the game took an applause, the same could not be said 401 miles away. You simply cannot advertise a fixture based upon the opportunity to see representation on a stage with the false intent to grow the game when the same opportunity is not there for the opposition. Take colours away, and you are denying opportunity for young girls in particular to see what they can be if they dream that dream. That dream is not exclusive to the colours you wear, but inclusive to all, just like the foundations women's football was built upon. Whatever the circumstances may be, do not host if you cannot accommodate. Plan and fund accordingly. It is the reputation of the game that gets damaged, a reputation we are all collectively building." Report by Alison McConnell. Evening Times Sport, February 19. Sky is the limit for Kilmarnock goal hero Watson. Report by Graeme McGarry. Kyle Vassell has seen plenty of young players with ability throughout his career, and Kilmarnock midfielder David Watson, who bagged his side's late leveller against Celtic at the weekend, falls firmly into that category. But what separates Watson from most is his willingness to work at his game and his determination to do absolutely everything he can to make himself the best player he can possibly be. It is a recipe for success that Vassell believes can lead Watson to the very top of the game. And he said, "It's truly up to him. I'll look after him and I'll support him until the cows come home, because he is such a great lad. He works so hard. He is out doing finishing with me every day. And he really, really wants to be a player. he'll keep kicking on. In fairness, Watson is not alone at Rugby Park in his dedication, with Vassal giving an insight into the culture Derek McInnes has fostered at Killie that has contributed hugely to their impressive season so far. He continued, "It's all of them. I don't know how they recruit. It started with Craig Clark, and now Chris Burke has taken them on, and all the boys are so hungry. They all want to learn. They are all out on the training ground longer than anyone else, which is brilliant to see, because I've been at clubs here that has not been the case. You don't actually have to push the boys. You just have to guide them and coach them a little bit and help them. Bobby Wales is the same. Aaron Brown is the same. And I'm not mentioning some. They genuinely all work their tails off. And that is the fundamentals of having a good club. I've seen boys with ability, loads of them, and with hunger. Sometimes you have to tell them, you have to do this, you have to work hard. None of these boys here, you have to tell them. It's honestly a privilege to work with them. There are times they need to be coached a little bit or go on loan with the step up. But if we're talking about the younger boys, they do have the work ethic. They do have the hunger. They just have to learn the game. As well as the work ethic that McInnes has instilled in his squad, Vassal says there is a real belief within them too, which was evident at Celtic Park, with the visitors showing no fear whatsoever as they went toe-to-toe with Brendan Rodgers' side. And he said, "He's always believed in us, and he's put a belief into us to get the senior boys to push the younger boys to believe that this dressing room can achieve and do something this year. We came to Celtic Park full of confidence. We have beaten them twice this year. We have not necessarily got the result here, but I feel like that performance just shows where we are. It's anyone. With Rangers at times, we felt like we could have got a result there if I'd scored a chance early on. Maybe it would have been a different game. Even still, we'd chances late on. We truly believe we can go toe-to-toe with them in the league. The depth we've got just now just helps us even more. We've got such a good dressing room. The gaffer has brought in boys, and it's the job of the senior boy and mine as captain to get the boys to believe and want to work hard for each other. And they do that." The contrast in the mood of the Killie players and their Celtic counterparts was stark after the game at the weekend, with the visiting squad and their supporters leaving on a high as they look forward to the remainder of the campaign with European football and extended Scottish Cup run in their sights. Added Vassal, "It's been brilliant. We know where the budget is. It is nowhere near these boys, and it's not even necessarily near the top six, because we know what the other clubs pay in the league. But we're just fighting. We're a team who roll their sleeves up, and if we can get goals on the counter like through Dave Watson, then happy days. We work hard, make it difficult for teams. That's what we're good at. Then we will try and score goals from set pieces and other ways. But first and foremost, we are hard to play against, and we showed it again. Let's just go one game at a time. We've still got a really tough run-in to come, and then we have got the split. First and foremost, let's look at getting into the top six. Once we achieve that, then we can look forward." Report by Graeme McGarry. Evening Times Sport, February 19. "The enhanced games are an awful concept, but I'll still be watching," says Susan Egglestar. "As someone who deplores doping in sport, I would love to say that I have absolutely no interest in the enhanced games, which will take place later this year. I wish I could say that I will not be lapping up the claims that the athletes competing will better the existing world records. And if only I could convince myself that when the enhanced games actually take place, I will not be checking with interest if the numerous boasts of world-class performances actually come true. But I cannot. I'm not proud of it, but I'm fascinated by the prospect of the enhanced games. The event itself is pretty self-explanatory. It's being billed as the alternative Olympic Games, the difference being that the athletes are permitted to take whatever performance-enhancing drugs they want. In contrast to the Olympics, where athletes must abide by a lengthy list of prohibited substances, the enhanced games has no such list. Anabolic steroids? Fine. EPO? No problem. Human growth hormone? Go for it. All are acceptable at the enhanced games. In fact, not just acceptable, they're actually welcomed. The concept of the enhanced games was first touted last year by the Australian lawyer and entrepreneur Aaron D'Souza, and is being bankrolled by a small group of billionaires. The idea is that by allowing the athletes to dope, they will be helping them to reach their full potential. Although the suggestion of the enhanced games has been around for some months, it shot to the top of the news agenda in the past week or so due to one man, James Magnussen. He is a 32-year-old Australian swimmer who's a two-time world champion and Olympic silver medalist in the 100 metres freestyle. Magnussen's peak came over a decade ago. His world titles came in 2011 and 2013, while his Olympic silver came in 2012. Yet he's just made an extraordinary claim that he's going to juice to the gills and break it within 6 months, he says, referring to the 50 metres freestyle world record. And if he does indeed break the world record, his reward will be a $1 million prize. His pledge has, unsurprisingly, been slammed, been called grotesque, irresponsible, tacky, selfish and stupid by Magnussen's fellow athletes and broadcasters. All these words are entirely legitimate and accurate descriptions of the enhanced games and of Magnussen's world record attempt. Of course it's grotesque to take as many performance-enhancing drugs as you can, all of which are banned in professional sport, to see just how fast you can go. And of course it's irresponsible to do this, because the example that might well be set to young athletes is that if you want to go really fast, the best way to do it is by doping. Yet despite being well aware of these huge problems with the entire concept of the enhanced games, and fully agreeing with the issues raised, I cannot deny being fascinated by both the games themselves and Magnussen's claim of bettering the current world record. Of course, the problems of the games cannot be ignored, but I am fascinated to see just what well-planned and well-executed doping can actually do for an athlete. Magnussen's personal best in the 50 metres freestyle was set 11 years ago, in 2013. He admits himself that history suggests there's no chance that over a decade later, he can go faster than he did as an athlete in his peak in his early 20s. Yet the lure of the enhanced games is that actually, with some medical help, he will be able to go faster. Much of the reason I am so interested in these games is to see just how much of a difference performance-enhancing drugs actually make, especially when they're taken safely and the doping program is monitored by medical professionals, as Magnussen's will be. Drugs don't automatically make you a better athlete. In short, they allow you to train harder and recover quicker. They are not a replacement for training. They just allow you to do it better than if you were clean. Even the most doped up athlete still has to train like a world class athlete to produce anything like world class performances. So how much of an impact do these drugs actually have? It will be interesting to find out. As things stand, we know that a significant number of elite athletes dope. The hundreds of suspensions from professional sport each year attests to this. And we all heavily suspect that in addition to the athletes who are caught for doping, there's many more who take drugs but get away with it. It's why almost every time an athlete produces a truly outstanding performance in an Olympic Games or other global competition, the levels of suspicion that accompany it are through the roof. The enhanced games will eliminate this uncertainty. We know that drugs are aiding these performances, and now we will be able to far more accurately judge by just how much. In a funny way, this could be a blessing in disguise for clean sport. Perhaps we will realize that doping increases performance so significantly that much of the suspicion around athletes at the Olympic Games will be eliminated, because if they were doping, would they not be faster than they are? Or maybe the enhanced games will be exactly what the detractors are claiming, an abomination that is a slight on clean sport and the athletes who dedicate their lives to achieving sporting success the correct way, through talent and hard work and nothing else. Either way, although I hate to admit it, I'll be watching, says Susan Egglestaff.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Kieran Review and to tell your friends about our service.